You know, every time I come up here, there is a certain amount of fear and trepidation because I'm saying that I'm going to preach the Word of God. And that's a very important and significant thing to do. And it is only by the mercy and grace of God that anybody can do that. And so I do always pray for God to bless the message to the ears of those that are going to hear it, as well as to me when I'm putting it together. And I'm going to continue. You know, the message I gave 2 weeks ago for the devotion was about the Holy Spirit and trying to lift him up. Because he seems to receive the least amount of attention, and yet, where would we be without the Spirit among us? And it's the times that we live in is what precipitated this whole message. And we'll begin. And we read some of this, I think, maybe 2 weeks ago. But let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And we're just going to read a few verses to kind of set what brought this to my mind and why I believe it's important. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And we'll read verses 1 and 2 and then drop down to 6 and 7. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. And in the prior chapter, he was talking about those that fall asleep in Christ. And so he's continuing on with that. And I'll drop down to verse 6. And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Now, there's a spirit that's being withheld. But, you know, Jesus, there was an hour when the hour of his time came. The hour. That's a pretty small measure of time, but there was his hour came, and that began the Passion of Christ. The same thing is going to happen with this Spirit. He's going to be revealed in his time. And it's been here ever since. But it's the Holy Spirit who is preventing that spirit of iniquity, that man of perdition, to be revealed. But he's going to be revealed. And as I mentioned before, it's a beautiful day outside. And I was able to, a number of us were able to drive ourselves here and pass all these cars, well, without an accident, without an incident. Brother Paul drives that bus without incident. I drive to work, come home without incident. That's the work of the Holy Spirit, doing that. That's why we thank God when we arrive here, when we get home, when we get to work. It's all the work of the Spirit. And the fact that evil is not as bad as it could be. It can get worse. And we're going to read about that here in a minute. But it isn't because the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, is here with us. The Father has never, in his person, visited the earth. He's the high, holy one, the high, lofty one that inhabits eternity, not in time. Jesus, who is God, left eternity and came down on this earth and walked on it. The Holy Spirit's been here the whole time. The whole time. Now let's go back to Genesis. One of my favorite books. One that I think about a lot. We're going to go to chapter 6. And as you know, chapter 6 is the chapter of the flood. And we're just going to read the first three verses of chapter 6. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. And they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his day shall be 120. Now there are some differences of opinion on what this verse is talking about. And I know a fellow who I highly respect. He's well learned. He sees it entirely different than me, but and I'll listen to his message again because he says why he believes that, but he didn't get into it. He just gave the reference. But, you know, the sons of God saw the daughters of men. Well, I see that as God had his people who came through Seth. There was Cain, there was Abel, and there was Seth. And that lineage through Seth were the sons of God. And yet over, as he said, it came to pass. In other words, through the process of time, which the scriptures use that phrase, that the sons of God, this lineage, this holy lineage, so to speak, left and went towards the world. That's what happened. And the Lord says, My spirit shall not always strive with men. Well, that's a lowercase s. He's not talking about the Holy Spirit. He's talking about the influence of the Spirit on men. And this was about 1,550 years after creation that this announcement was made, that my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Well, that's what happened. Men were getting into the flesh. They were leaving off the spiritual things and they were going towards the world. And it shows the long suffering of God. Now, how many people were there? When did this start? Well, it actually started to decline right there in the Garden of Eden. Right. I mean, and I finally agree with Brother Paul. I used to not think that Adam and Eve were depraved, but everybody born after that is depraved. But they were depraved. They didn't have a holy nature. They were capable. They had a certain understanding of choosing that tree of life. There was nothing that prevented them from doing it. But they didn't do it. Instead, they chose the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's depravity. Now, everybody born since then has a sinful nature. And as a spirit, a sinful spirit. We have no choice. Well, I say we have no choice. We're still capable, but we're not going to do it because our nature is evil. So I come back to this chapter to show that the nature of man is sinful. It's going to go towards evil. And God dealt with it by destroying the entire world. Now, we don't know a whole lot about that time. But we know that it did get bad enough. that God's long suffering had reached the point where he was cutting everybody off, except eight souls. And we don't really know if all eight souls were saved. We believe Noah was, and we believe Seth was. Or not. Shem, I'm sorry. I get it mixed up from time to time. Let's go to Job. You know, Job is interesting. Some say that Job is the oldest book in the Bible. I don't know how they get that. But Job was afflicted by God. And he had these three friends, which, you know, JT likes to think that they were Baptists, and they probably were. Probably Southern Baptists, no doubt. But there was this fourth guy that came on the scene after everybody had got done speaking. This fourth guy, and his name was Elishu. Let's go to the 32nd chapter of Job and read what Elishu said to Job. Job 32, verses 8 and 9. But there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. Great men are not always wise, neither do the aged understand judgment. Now that spirit, again, is the lowercase s. It's the influence. There is an influence in men. It's either going to be good or it's going to be evil. And the inspiration of the Almighty, the understanding that we are given of the things of God is given by the Holy Spirit. It's the only way you can know the things of God is to have the Holy Spirit. It's interesting what he says. Great men are not always wise. And that's true. You think about some of the great men in history who were great men, but they weren't Christians. And you think about the average age of a man prior to the flood was 912 years old. Well, they didn't understand judgment. Noah preached for 120 years to men who were well aged, but they didn't heed the warning. They died in the flood in their sins. So age is not a guarantee that you understand all things. And especially when it comes to the things of God. It's the Holy Spirit. And again, the reason I really bring this up is we're living in a time when I believe the Spirit of God is slowly backing away. And the influence that he has brought is becoming less and less and less. And so evil is manifesting itself more and more and more. And this mayor of a city in South, I think it's Indiana, I think it's South Bend, young man, 37 years old, a Rhodes Scholar, a veteran of Afghanistan, I believe, has been referred to as a political genius and has raised a lot of money. He's a sodomite. He's Episcopal. He's married. But he's running for president. That would have never happened 40 years ago. Never happened. Wouldn't have had a chance. But it's happening now, today, and we'll see what happens. But again, that couldn't have happened, but it's happening today. In my lifetime, I see it. And you couple the Holy Spirit withdrawing with a strong delusion being active that's coming on us, and you think about the second half of Romans chapter 1. It's happening in before our very eyes. A lot of people don't see it. The only people that could see it and understand it would be the people that have the Spirit of God, that have this understanding. Go to Psalms. Psalm 51, one we're all familiar with. Verses 10 and 11. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Again, that's a lowercase s. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Now, there's an instance where that Holy Spirit is lowercase h and s. And yet, that's what he's talking about, is that influence from God. Renew a right spirit within me. We need to be renewed. Jesus said, except a man be born again. Well, that's being renewed. And it's because we're born sinners. And we prove it once we start sinning. You know, sometimes people worry about those who haven't heard the gospel. What's going to be coming to them? Well, not hearing the gospel is not what condemns a person. What condemns them is sin. And they did sin. They are sinners. And Jesus said, except the man be born again. And if a person hasn't heard, like those people down on the Amazon, well, they still sin. And if God intended to save them, he'd have sent the gospel to them in time, and maybe still will. I don't know. But the issue is being a sinner and staying in your sin. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. If we're a child of God, that is not going to happen. However, that is what's happening in the world. The Spirit is being withdrawn. And it's a judgment on the world. And we're going to be affected by that, because more and more people are attacking the things of God. More and more. They're trying to break that band between the Father and the Son. I can't quote the headlines that I've read about China, except that they're very much persecuting the church, the visible church. And they acknowledge, they state that Christianity is a big problem to them, because Christians are not going to bow down to any other god but the true and living God. And that's why in North Korea, being a Christian is a very offense against their supreme leader. They do not tolerate it one bit, because they know that a Christian, a true Christian, is not going to acknowledge any other God but Jesus Christ. Now let's go to Isaiah chapter 48. Now, you know, many times I've said, and we all do see this, how, you know, God destroyed the old world because of sin. Began again with Noah and his three sons. And then we see what happened. You know, he called Abraham out and began this new group of people, this new sons of God. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Jacob had his 12 sons. And God blessed them. They were the ones that had the oracles of God. Didn't go out to anybody else, for the most part. They went to that nation. And what happened to them? You know, they sinned themselves away. They had the Word of God, and they ignored it. They intentionally ignored it. So let's read, beginning chapter 48, Isaiah, verse 1. Hear ye this, O house of Jacob, which are called by the name of Israel, and are come forth out of the waters of Judah, which swear by the name of the Lord, and make mention of the God of Israel, but not in truth, nor in righteousness. For they call themselves of the holy city, and stay themselves upon the God of Israel. The Lord of hosts is his name. I have declared the former things from the beginning, and they went forth out of my mouth, and I shewed them. I did them suddenly, and they came to pass. Because I knew that thou art obstinate, and thy neck is an iron sinew, and thy brow brass. I have even from the beginning declared it to thee. Before it came to pass, I showed it thee, lest thou shouldest say, mine idol hath done them, and my graven image and my molten image hath commanded them. Thou hast heard, see all this, and will ye not declare it? I have showed thee new things from this time, even hidden things, and thou didst not know them. They are created now, and not from the beginning, even before the day when thou heardest them not, lest thou shouldest say, behold, I knew them. Yea, thou heardest not. Yea, thou knewest not. Yea, from that time that thine ear was not open, for I knew that thou wouldst deal very treacherously, and was called a transgressor from the womb. For my name's sake will I defer my anger, and for my praise will I refrain for thee, that I cut thee not off. That's the long suffering of God. Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. For my own sake, even for my own sake, will I do it. For how should my name be polluted? And I will not give my glory unto another. Hearken unto me, O Jacob and Israel, my call. I am he. I am the first. I am the last. My hand also hath laid the foundations of the earth, and my right hand hath spanned the heaven. When I call unto them, they stand up together. All ye, assemble yourselves and hear. Which among them hath declared these things? The Lord hath loved him. He will do his pleasure on Babylon, and his arm shall be on the Chaldeans. I, even I, have spoken. Yea, I have called him. I have brought him, and he shall make his way prosperous. And he did. He took everything out of the temple and everybody else. Come ye near unto me. Hear ye this. I have not. This needs to be spoken to the United States, if not the world. Come ye near unto me. Hear ye this. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning, from the time that it was. There am I, and now the Lord God and his Spirit hath sent me. Thus saith the Lord thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord my God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. Oh, that thou hast heard, hearkened to my commandment, then had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. If ever there was a country outside of Israel that had the goodness of God, that saw the goodness of God, that had all the benefits of the Word of God and his, I'll say, blessing, it's the United States. And yet, look where we are today. Look what people are doing on this day. And look at what we've exported to the whole world. Gay pride came from the United States. That came from the Stonewall Inn in New York. And now it's all over the world. The rock and roll music, the decadence, the Hollywood stuff, that came from the United States. And everybody else is, they're flocking here. That's what they want. The influence of the United States as far as the things of God, which at one time it was. I'm not saying we were a Christian nation. There's only been one Christian nation. And look what happened to us. And here we are in this country. And no one, in this country, they're doing everything they can to suppress, to make unlawful the things of God. Like a while back, this, I think I mentioned this the other day, the lady in Pennsylvania, a rep, was praying, and she brought the name of Jesus up a number of times. Well, a governor of Pennsylvania and another representative who was a Muslim was very offended by it. I mean, it's just ironic. You can be a Muslim. You can bring up Allah, bring up Muhammad, but bring up Jesus Christ, and they're offended. That's what's happening in our country. This was a warning. I mean, Isaiah was a prophet to Israel. He was telling them what God was going to do, what God had done for them. They ignored it. Just like what's happening today in our country. That's what brought all this to my mind. Let's go to John. John chapter 6. And we'll begin with verse 60. I'll just read three verses. Now, you know, Jesus had been talking to his disciples. He had a large following. And when he told them that they had to eat his flesh and drink his blood, they got turned off by that. They thought, that's a hard saying. And a lot of them left following him. And he says, beginning in verse 60, many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? What, and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Now, if the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is pulling away, how are they going to get that lowercase s? Who are they going to get it from? They're going to get it from the spirit that's left here, which is that spirit of iniquity. Now, you know, I remember so well. I was drinking coffee, and I lived in the Heights. It was in the morning, and I was reading in James. And I realized that this book is alive. There's life in this book. It's printed on paper. But there's life in it. There's no other book like that. You can read good books. You can read books written by the Puritans. You could read the sermons. And they'll be good, and you'd be blessed by it. But it doesn't have life in it. This book has life in it. I mean, that's an amazing thing to me. And as I mentioned earlier before the message, I mean, I know people I know some people close to me that have this book in their house and never, ever read it, never pick it up. They do not know what is in store for them. They don't know that God's not going to speak to them. Well, I mean, it could be somebody else, but there's His Word right there. I think it's going to be to their condemnation. And that's one thing I think about in our day. Worse than Israel being cast off. Worse than prior to the flood. We have more in our hands right now than the Apostle Paul had. He didn't have all of it. We have it all. And to most people, it's just another book. Doesn't mean that much. The words of Christ, they are life. That's why we hang on them. That's why we study it. That's why we memorize Scripture. And that's why we always go back to this book. Our prayer, our hope, our desire is that what our understanding is of God is as close to this book as it can be. And that's why I say, you know, I come up here and give a message, or if anybody does, that's our fear, that we hope, we pray, that we're close to the book. This is the source of truth. Let's move over to John chapter 14. In verses 15 through 17. Beginning with verse 15. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, the Holy Spirit, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. I mean, Jesus said, I'm the way, and the way, the life, and the truth. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be with you. Now, if that Spirit of truth is withdrawing his influence, what is going to happen? Be less and less truth being preach, people hearing less and less truth. And there are a lot of people who are like that. They can't see God, so they don't believe in God. I mean, what was it, a Russian astronaut that said, Ian was out there in space? He said, well, I didn't see God. I mean, he was mocking God, actually. No, he's not. Absolutely not. I mean, it's difficult for us to understand because we have the Spirit of God in us, and it's the work of God. Even your sanctification, it's the work of God, and He's doing that in us. I'm not going to be able to get all these, but let me. Got to read, this is Stephen. Remember, Stephen was a deacon. He was actually a deacon. You know, the apostles were going to be given over to prayer and the Word of God. And so they had these, I think it was seven men who were going to take care of, you know, these widows and that sort of thing, the administrative part of the church. And Stephen, who was full of the Holy Spirit, and he's preaching. In Acts 7:51, he says, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do ye. The Holy Ghost can be resisted. I mean, that's an amazing thing. And they did it. They showed it. They displayed it. Then we read in Isaiah, that's what was happening. They stoned. They didn't want to hear those things. I mean, God sent them prophet after prophet, finally sent his son. And it was the religious leaders that had him crucified. The religious leaders did that. The people who had the oracles of God, the people that knew, they resisted the Holy Spirit. They did not want to believe what he had to say. Now, let's go to Acts. Well, 16th chapter of Acts. I'll just read verses 6 and 7. And I may have referred to one of these a couple weeks ago. Now, when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. There was no Gentiles in Asia. Verse 7. After they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. But even back then, the Holy Spirit was guiding them. And the time of those Asians, it wasn't their time yet. It wasn't according to God's purpose. And the Spirit prevented them from going there. And the day's coming. And we believe we're here now where the Spirit of God has moved off of the Japhethians, moved off of the Shimeites, and he's now over there with the Hamites, the Canaanites. Our time is gone. It's not that people won't be saved. That's where the Holy Spirit is. And he that's why you see this violence, this corruption, this evil, this perversion becoming more and more prevalent every day. It just amazes me every day. And let me get to, I've got to read 1 Timothy 4:1. We're all very familiar with this. Now the Spirit, and again, it's a capital, uppercase S, speaketh expressly that in the latter times some should depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. We sure see that. I watched a thing the other day on YouTube. It was about Paula White. I don't know how many of y'all are familiar with her. Talk about, you know, a false prophet. Talk about somebody who is not called, but yet is up there as a pastor and has done, made a ton of money. I'm listening to her message. I mean, she wanted money. She wanted her people to give her a month's worth of wages. And she's quoting scripture, taking it all out of context. Had no idea what she was saying, really. But people are doing it. I mean, you know, she's kind of buddies with T.J., whatever his name is. She bought him a Rolls Royce as a gift. I wish she'd pay off my Nissan for me. Pardon me? Really? Well, she's out of Florida. She's been married, divorced. They had a big mega church. And she's just an attractive lady, a young lady, but just as godless as they come. I mean, just the fact that she's pastoring a church and can justify it. So I want to conclude with Zechariah. Let's go to Zechariah chapter 7. And again, I can't help but when I think of our nation, and I thank God I was born here. There's no other place I would want to be but the United States. But what I see happening and where it's going is very sad. And I just keep waiting for the, to use an expression, the shoe to drop. We're such a, I mean, you read about, you know, it's just amazing. I could go on and on, but we all know. So Zechariah chapter 7, we'll begin with verse 8. tested. And the word of the Lord came unto Zechariah, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, Execute true judgment and show mercy and compassion every man to his brother, and oppress not the widow, nor the fatherless, the stranger, nor the poor, and let none of you imagine evil against his brother in your heart. But they refused to hearken, and pulled away the shoulder, and stopped their ears, that they should not hear. Yea, they made their hearts as an adamant stone, lest they should hear the law, and the words which the Lord of hosts had sent in his spirit by the former prophets. Therefore came a great wrath from the Lord of hosts. Therefore it has come to pass that as he cried, and they would not hear, so they cried, and I would not hear, saith the Lord of hosts. But I scattered them with a whirlwind among the nations whom they knew not. Thus the land was desolate after them, but no man passed through nor returned, for they laid the pleasant land desolate. Now that happened. That actually happened to Israel. And you know, I've been thinking about it this week. The United States has those two oceans on both sides. And then we got the Gulf of Mexico. I mean, we're a well-protected land. Armies haven't invaded us. But that's exactly what's happening with this immigration issue. The army's coming up that way. It's going to change the face of this nation by doing that. And, you know, maybe that's a judgment of God on our nation. But again, I always think there was the flood, there was the destruction of Israel, Jerusalem, and now we're seeing what's happening with the church. And it's worldwide. It's not just in our country, it's worldwide. And I think, what's the saying? Can't think of it at the moment, but at any rate, my prayer that God will continue to keep my eyes open and show me that I can watch and wait for that day. Serious things.
I really, really wonder sometimes just how clearly and perfectly do we understand the words of this Bible. Sometimes I'm afraid we read it unlike we do a secular book. And it's not. It is the Word of God. And I don't think we can know and understand the words of this book any better than what we know and understand God. these are, in the words of the Apostle Paul, perilous times. But is that just a word to us? I mean, is the word perilous, is that just a word? But how do you define a word like that? Well, we go to Webster's Dictionary and we read it out of there, don't we? But it doesn't mean anything. Unless the spirit, that spirit that we've just been listening about, hearing about, unless that spirit grips our hearts and our minds and drives the truth of it, indeed drive the spirit of that in, you know what it'll do? In our old East Texas language, you used to say, well, it goes in one ear and out the other. And we'll talk some more about this in a few minutes, but I wonder sometimes if we really have a grip of, or maybe if it's better said, does the Word of God have a grip on us? That these things do, Bruce, live, and that they live in us, and that we live in them, realizing every day that goes by, we are indeed one day nearer to facing the God that is so holy that no man can approach unto him and see God and live. How will we react when we see God? What will happen when we see God? Well, the world is full of people. I mean literally full of people. And a whole lot of them are professed Christians that are flipping about it. Because he's just the man upstairs. Or some other, you know, light, glib expression. No, he's God. But does that grip your heart in your mind? Do you fear God? Well, Paul, my wife follows the Facebook thing pretty well every day. That saw something on there, I don't know when was it, a couple of days ago, from people that we know was talking about seeing pictures of Spurgeon And some of these old forefathers, some of them Baptist people, and they were amazed. You know what they were amazed about? Well, pretty well, is how somber they were. They weren't smiling. What is wrong with these men? They weren't smiling. Weren't they happy? Where's their joy? Do we really want to be Baptist?
This ain't right, what we've got going on here today. Women, be quiet in church. Well, baby, if you're on Facebook, I get that.
Yeah,
well, get rid of your account and get back with you. I mean, if you're letting that stuff come in here and you get all tore up about it, you would lie.
Yeah.
I mean, they came knocking on the door, and you opened it up, let them in.
And that's true. But here's again, folks. We are. That's what I'm trying to get across. I don't know how to get it across, really. But it's the times that we're living in, and we're not treating it that way, really.
That's the thing.
From his people, that's right. It'll let that will ever happen.
And so we surprised by it, we get all tore up about it. We ought to just say, hey, here we go. He's given us his word. He'll give us the signs of the time. And which this is just as real as it can be. Thank God that he has saved me, and I believe what he said about himself and about everything else. Thank God I can read this, and it's breath and life to me. Man cannot live on bread alone, but he can live on every word.
Yeah.
He must live on every word, and he will live on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.
Right.
Now, you know, it's one thing to curse the garden. It's another thing to live in the life. Okay, these things happen. Are we surprised? If we are, who's going to say to us, oh, a little faith. You know, you guys getting surprised about this. I told you. I've been telling you since Genesis 3. I've been telling you. You ought to be standing up saying, hallelujah! Praise God is happening. Why not? And we get all tore up about it. Those folks are fools. They don't know Spurgeon. They don't know those other men. And they say, look, we don't want to be like Baptists. Well, yes, the Baptists don't want to be like but I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging for bread.
That's true.
I mean, this morning we're feasting.
Yeah.
Those other folks are starving to death. They
right.
don't even know.
That's right.
That's
and that that's...
Well, it's not sad to me. It's what they deserve.
Well, it's sad in the from a human standpoint. It is sad. Because you do love them. You have a compassion toward them.
Not people who step in that. I don't have compassion for people who tell me up and down, Burris, you're wrong. My God is not like that. And my God is this, this, and this. And they don't even name one attribute of the Almighty. And then I feel sorry for them and say, hey, you know what? I'm going to let them mind. And I'm going to check off the dust off my feet. And we've all worried about this. That's preach the gospel.
Well, I agree with what you're saying. In fact, that's what I keep telling my wife a lot of times, is that, you know, again, we don't want to believe that these things, we say it, but we don't really believe it. And here's the thing, unless we act according to what we preach, what are we doing? We're really denying, aren't we?
We're denying him.
And the thing is, and that's what I've been, the reason I've been preaching like I've been preaching all this time, is simply because we need to face the facts of what we're saying we believe. And the truth of the matter is that if the Holy Ghost is being withdrawn from the world, he is not being withdrawn from the church. He's not going to be withdrawn from the church. In fact, it's going to be just the opposite. It's going to be revival in the church. And that's what I've said for many years now. Do you believe in there's going to be a revival? Yes. I believe there's going to be a revival. I just don't know who it is and how many it's going to be. But it's going to be revival because Christ is fixing to come back and he is getting ready to for his people to meet him in the fashion that he has described.
Well, you know, another thing, we have to come out from among us.
Well, make it clear, I'm not on it every day, and I'm not on it very long. And up to this point, I have a lot of good people that were sharing the gospel. But now there's some family that's in the dance, and boy, and you know, I feel like the one that just recently had a talk to me, and she sent me Muslim stuff, I can't understand the word. Do whatever they want to do. They smoke up.
tell you what, I can't remember last time we sent that email after night. Don't wait for it. And I'm not, so expect it. In fact, Christ never he sent me over.
Amen.
So he's on his way, and he's going to do exactly what he wants to do. But then we come back to these simple things. Like I said, well, then, he called up this woman to attack the church. It ought to be obvious that she has no right, and she's blaspheming God by calling herself pastor. Same thing in anywhere. Paul told us how these things operate, and he's told us how there's male and female roles and responsibilities. And I'll tell you what. Better watch out what you think. Does this have a grip on you? It does. You may slam you to the ground.
And it's plain and it's simple.
And there's going to be effective argument out of it. You just can lose.
See, one thing I've kind of, and I know we all said this time, but it's such a different way, but we understand what actually is happening. It's not the politics. It's not the
no, they don't know what's going on.
It's not the
Armenian church,
especially. But we see it, and that's what I suppose it excites my spirit, because I see what's going on before my very eyes by the measure of the word of God. It is happening. It doesn't grip me to the point that I'm worried. I mean, it's just like, you know, we have got to be in the twilight period of time. And even if we're not, just like we said, if you're really closer to God, even through the death or through the day, you come back to it. And it's going to continue to get worse and worse. But, and again, that sodomite fella that running for president.
What's the difference?
No,
supposedly men and children are leading, right? Well, right. Exactly what's happening in our school is the children running. It ain't because, you know, it ain't like it used to be. What's happening? But we have to have these kids. Now, we're in two of the kids. That means they're running back. I've got to evaluate.
We're also victims, and I say that in a special way, but we're victims of our former life. Right. And by that I mean how we have been preached to and taught in former times. Because all that they're interested in, they're trying to get everybody saved. And in spite of the fact that God is not going to save them, there's not very long ago, there's one of the people that we know, Dorothy and I know, is putting on, you know, oh, how we ought to go to every door and preach to them so we can get more people saved. I don't know. But it doesn't matter, does it? The whole thing, again, Bruce brought it out a while ago. If God doesn't do it, you're not going to accomplish anything except make it worse. And so on and on we go. You don't find any. But they go to the second chapter of Acts. That's where they get all that stuff. Well, they went from house to house. Well, they weren't going out there knocking on doors. They was out there fellowshipping with one another. So, and well, that's another thing. You know, as if God can't do what he wants to do and intends to do, but when the church has been the strongest is when it's been hiding out in the woods or in caves or whatever. And so, you know, we profess to believe in the sovereignty of God, but what does it mean to us? Oh, well, if we believe in the sovereignty of God, we also got to believe in the responsibility of man. Well, we know that man is going to be accountable to God. But is he responsible? Well, you know, again, depends on what your is. No, that's what I keep saying. Responsibility does not beget ability. It doesn't do it. So, you know, it's just though that we've been fed all of this stuff, and because we have been gullible and we want to be nice, we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, and so we listen to them, and we get these opinions, you know, formed. Oh, well, this is a great preacher. So whatever he says, you know, we just listen to it and take it all in, and it fills us full of misinformation, half-truths, so to speak. Of course, there ain't any such thing as a half-truth. It's either truth or it's a lie. But
many believe.
No. Out of the synagogue.
So I'm going to tell you, it's the basis of all stuff. You bigger place you can have. Either with him or you're not. And I can paralyze the Pope. You do it.
What are words? But what are words? It's that which God wrought. And it's not what I do, it's what God does. So
I learned that humility is one of the very six more things were delivered in humility. So they could have been destroyed. And not first to be last to them. Everybody did the thing, but it's not. He said, you got space, spaces, and all this stuff.
No, and that's one of my beliefs is that God is going to humble the church. Where, and that's one thing I'm thankful about our group here. Again, I say this, I hope with a great measure of humility, is that we do have a measure of that humility where we can listen to one another and not be offended. Righteousness. What the Bible says, I guess that's right. But there is those verses of Scripture, that Scripture. And they're just as much as part of the Word of God as all the rest of it, just like you said. Leave them alone. But we don't want to leave them alone. Again, like I said earlier, we do have a type of compassion toward these people in that, yes, we look at ourselves and we think, well, you know, if it weren't for the grace of God, there I am also. But it still stands that let their table become a snare unto them. Let them bow down their backs always. I mean, this is the word of God. But it's, again, let them alone. What do you think you're going to do? You know? And don't cast the bread to the dogs and all these things. Lest the... cast your pearls before the swine, what's the rest of that? Lest they turn and rend you. So, no. They don't understand what joy is. Yeah. But they don't understand any of that. And again, in the right sense of the word, that's the sad thing about it. Absolutely. No kidding. I look back and I think, Lord, how in the world can you still be faithful to me?
And
nobody.
So we have to learn. And I'll tell you what, my best effort is to go back to look at the kind
of thing. Absolutely.
Suffer.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord, we're going to come to our best. But let's see what the next 30 years get for
me. Yeah. Right.
Yourself about right and wrong, you got right and wrong staring in the face, it ain't written very much.
No, it's not. It's sure not.
But it shows yourself approved. The work that you need not to be ashamed. God is buying the word of truth. And then also sanctify the Lord Jesus in your heart. And you may give them a reason for the hope that's within you. Yeah. What have you been doing all this time? I'm sitting there in shame. All of a sudden, I'm going to be down about this. What have you been doing? You've been studying? You've been sanctifying? Or you just kind of been going along with the Lord? And this has been a great day. Like giving it back to you.
That's true. But we're afraid sometimes, you know.
Yeah, I'm scared also.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Of the right thing. And they do not like God, and they do not like the people of God. So, you know, again, settle that in your heart, you know.
And that's why our politics is so
said for a long time too, you know, if you've got any kind of principle about you, people are not going to like you. They may tolerate you to a degree, but they're not going to like you.
Don't you like it because you're bigoted and stupid?
Yeah. What a grand indictment. All right. Well, we could just go on with this. No kidding. I mean, I was sitting there a while ago while Brother Bruce was bringing his message and thinking, you know, one of these days we might need to have our own Bible conference. I'm talking about us right here. And we're kind of what we're doing, what I was thinking about, what we've just been doing.
Just let go and let God.
Yeah, right. But all right. Well, let's open our Bibles over to the book of Amos again. And I tell you, though, what I read here in Amos is scary. Again, do we believe God? Do we believe what he says? Do we believe that he says what he means and means what he says? But, you know, again, more and more I find that, and I was thinking about this yesterday as I was trying to do a little meditation, a little study. If you read the commentaries, and again, don't misunderstand me. I do read the commentaries. But I'm amazed at how much space they will take up talking about some issue that has little or nothing to do with what we need to be hearing and learning from this book we call the Bible. you've heard the old saying that how they would argue about how many angels can dance on the head of a pin or whatever. Well, it's no different when you argue about mundane things that are contained in the Word of God that in themselves have no importance to the overall understanding of that Word and pass over those things that ought to be shaking us to our foundation. But we have read in plain, simple terms how God has said, the end is come. I will not pass by my people anymore. I will not again pass by them any more. And now in chapter 9, he's not only telling how that he's not going to pass by them anymore, but he's telling how he's going to bring them to that end. And that's what is ought to make us reverence God. Sometimes I really think, and again, what I think doesn't amount to a whole lot unless there's some reason for its validity, but as I see things going on, why does a person want to go to these movies where, you know, it everything is traumatized?
I think it's Dennis' respect of the family of man. People love violence.
But does it desensitize? And then when they read things in like this in 9th chapter here of Amos, does it just kind of pass over them? Because they've been desensitized to this evil and the results of that evil. Yeah. I go back even further than that. In most of our lifetimes that are here, you know, we grew up in an age when right always prevailed and wrong always failed. And it's not so. In the natural world, that is not so. It's the evil that appears to have everything going its way. And you look into these movies and all these kind of things, and who is always the one that winds up with egg on their face? Yeah, it's anybody that has any morals or any integrity, they're the ones. But on the other hand, especially in our particular day today, it's those that are the sodomites, the adulterers and the adulteresses. They're the ones that are kind and are portrayed as kind and good and loving and just, you know, just wonderful, beautiful people. Brother Dale said it earlier. Light, dark, and dark light, good, evil, and evil, good. Bitter is sweet, sweet is bitter. He seeks to change times and laws. And that's what we're seeing today. But we read this, and again, these things ought to grip us, the cause. Now, let me go back again to Brother Bruce read out of the 51st chapter there of Psalms, and yes, we are. We're all familiar with that. But what does the psalmist pray? Cast me not away from thy presence, and remove not thy spirit from me. Now, Brother Bruce said that would never happen. And it's true. God will never leave us. If we're his people, he'll never leave us. But I'm telling you that the psalmist, at that point in his life, he was not all that sure about it. He had reason to be. Because he had committed adultery with Bathsheba, and he had murdered, and essentially her husband, who was faithful to him, so faithful to David, that he would not even spend the night with his own wife. And we'd better not be too presumptuous ourselves. We better do what the apostle says. But, you know, again, we read in that, what is it, 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians there, or 2 Corinthians, examine yourselves. Oh, well, that's for the unbeliever out there. No, that's not for the unbeliever. That's for those in the church at Corinth. Peter says, well, make your calling and election sure. Who is he talking to? He's not talking to the unbeliever. He's talking to those that think they have some reason to be God, that they really are God's people. Do these things grip us? Again, what I'm talking about. And so as we read, I saw the Lord standing upon the altar. He wasn't standing by the altar. He was standing up on the altar. Now, I don't really know how to put all of that into words, but folks, there's a reason that why you see him standing on the altar, because he's desecrating that altar. Because his people have departed from him, and it no longer means anything, except it just brings sorrow, if I can put it in that respect, to his heart. Now, don't misunderstand me. God's not sad about anything. Just thinking about that, you read in Ezekiel, where God says, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. And some people will take that and they'll think, well, you know, God just can't cast his people into hell. That's not what it means at all. God is holy and he will do right. Now, is God vindictive? No. Is he vengeful? Yes, he is. He will get revenge upon those that hate him, that are his enemies. Is he long-suffering with them, Brother Bruce? Oh, yes. Beyond what we can even comprehend, he is long-suffering. But, dearly beloved, it's not going to cause him one bit of pain to cast all of those into hell that deserve to be there. but he's standing upon the altar. And he says, smite the lintel of the door that the post may shake, and cut them in the head, all of them. And I will slay the last of them with the sword. He that fleeth of them shall not flee away, and he that escapeth of them shall not be delivered. That is strong, absolute language. There's no mincing of words. There's no beating around the bush. These are absolute, the sayings and the word of God, the declaration of God. Oh, God wouldn't do things like that. He's so nice. If that's what you're counting on, brother, you've done missed it. But see, that again, the world, and especially the so-called Christian world today, has been fed all of this nonsense. They've been fed according to the imagination of their own evil hearts. And they're just exactly again, yes, Brother Dale, just like it was back in Isaiah's day, and just like it was in Jeremiah's day, and just like it was in Amos's day. The priests bear rule by their own means, and the people love to have it so. No, that's the reason it'd be folly for me to go and try to be a pastor of one of these churches. But now here, listen carefully. You think you're going to get away with it? Well, again, I thank God will be lenient. God's never lenient. God is either one of two things toward mankind. God is either merciful or he is wrath. Now, if you fall under that first category, it is simply because that God has a purpose in himself and for himself that he has had mercy on you. And those that he does not have mercy on, they all fall under that second category, and rightly so. And the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness of men that hold the truth in unrighteousness. And here's what he's going to do. You think you're going to hide from God? You think there's somehow, some way that you can escape God? The only way that you're going to find acceptance with God is through the Spirit of Jesus. Which spirit was, I come, O God, to do thy will. Well, what is his will? Well, I think God wants me to do this, or I think God would like me to do this or that or the other, you know. on and on and on. It just, it never ceases, you know. And instead of picking up this Bible and reading it and studying it and finding it out and then being submissive to it, they've got all kinds of stupid ideas. And then, well, God knows that He knows I make mistakes. There is nothing that you do or I do or can do or will do that is amiss from the mind, the will, and the Word of God that is a mistake. You know what it is? It's sin. And the soul that sinneth shall surely die. They did what they wanted to do. Exactly. Adam and Eve did what they wanted to do. They had free access to the tree of life, just like they had to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and they chose the knowledge of the tree of good and evil. They had nothing to do, wanted nothing to do with the tree of life. Yeah, if there was such a thing as free will, that was it. Yes, absolutely. You willed it. You are free, but God's people are the same way. We are free to do the will of God. Yes, that's exactly what it means. It don't mean that you're free to live in the United States of America, and it sure don't mean that you're free to do anything that you choose and please to do, contrary to the Word of God. It gives you the power to become the sons of God. But what is the Son of God? He obeyed the Father. Because he loved him. And you can carry that either way, can't you? The Father loved the Son, and the Son loved the Father. But again, you see, how are you going to hide? Where are you going to hide? Well, listen to what he says. Though they dig into hell, then shall my hand take them. Though they climb up to heaven, thence will I bring them down. And though they hide themselves in the top of Carmel, I will search and take them out thence. And though they be hid from my sight in the bottom of the sea, thence will I command the serpent, and he shall bite them. And though they go into captivity before their enemies, thence will I command the sword, and it shall slay them, and I will set mine eyes upon them for evil and not for good. He covers all the bases, doesn't he? And he's really not through yet, is he? But he's making it abundantly clear to these people. Now, we could go back over in the book of Numbers. You remember when they were coming out of of Egypt, and they were the promised land was set right there before them, and they were commanded to go into it, and they sent the spies in, and they come back, and all of them but Caleb and Joshua, they were all murmuring about it. Oh, we can't go into there. There's giants in that land. And so God gave Moses instruction to turn them around and take them into the wilderness. And then what happened? Oh, we made a mistake. Isn't that what they said? Oh, we made a mistake. We changed our mind. Now we're going to go up. And they did. And what happened? They got slaughtered. Why? Because they disobeyed the voice of the Lord. And they decided, you see, it ought to scare us to death. Every time we make a, quote, decision, unquote, it ought to scare us to death. But it doesn't. I mean, nothing's happened there. But everything's all right, isn't it? I mean, God's not, he's not raining down hailstones on us, is he? I mean, and fire and not coming down out of heaven. And people are not dropping dead in the church services, are they? I was going over to the book of Acts, in the 5th chapter of the book of Acts. What do we find there? We find Ananias and Sapphira. And all they did, you know, everybody was selling their property and they was coming and giving, you know, to the church. And Ananias and Sapphira, they're going to sell theirs and, you know, come give it to the church. Well, they sold their property and they come and they give to the church, but they didn't give what they said they was going to give. Oh, well, we made a mistake. We didn't mean to give that much. But they fell down dead because they lied to the Holy Ghost. That's not happening anywhere, is it? So we must be all right. Everything must be cool with God. No. Yes, Bruce, well, they're treasuring up wrath. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. Therefore, the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. And I didn't make that up. It's found in the 8th chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes in verse 11. But people, again, the truth is that every last one of us would be in that category except according to the mercy of God. And the truth of the matter is that every one of us in here have done enough of defying God that every one of us, he should have slain us years ago. Joel's talking about humility. I think about my past Christian life, and I sometimes marvel at how arrogant and stupid and foolish I was. And no man knows how far into that kind of thing and any of all other sins that he has gone until and unless God takes him to task over it. David, again, he committed adultery with Bathsheba. He killed Uriah, and he was perfectly satisfied and happy and at peace until and then Nathan had to point his finger at him and say, "You are the man." Now that's how blind we can be to our own iniquities and our own sins. And how often do we think that our sins are hidden from God? Oh, he didn't see that. No, he knows every one of them. And every one of them, well, this one was a little sin, and this one was a big sin. To God, they're all big. There's no such thing as a little sin. But ultimately, here's what's going to happen. Either you are included in that covenant that God made with his Son, are you going to find that there's no place to run? There's no place to hide. There's no excuse that's going to be acceptable. There is nothing that you can do to escape the wrath of God, which is climaxed, if I can say it that way, with an eternity in hell. If you have any idea, if anybody has any idea that God is not serious about every word that's in this book, then they have denied him. And there again, all my life, as far back as I can remember, even before I was saved, I've heard the debate going on. Well, what doctrines are necessary? Whole counsel of God, by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, it goes on and on and on. For all scripture is given and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness. It goes, the word of God, it's not just one verse, it's verse after verse after verse. Diminish not a word, don't add to it, don't subtract from it. It goes on and on and on, and yet we stand up and discuss all of these things like we were smart. What we ought to be doing is just falling on our face and asking God to reveal to us why he said what he said. And then to give us grace to obey. And the Lord God of hosts is he that toucheth the land, and it shall melt, and all that dwell therein shall mourn. And it shall rise up wholly like a flood, and shall be drowned as by the flood of Egypt. This is the second time now that he has made that reference. The other one was over in the 8th verse of the 8th chapter. Shall not the land tremble for this, and everyone mourn that dwelleth therein? And it shall rise up wholly as a flood, and it shall be cast out as by the flood of Egypt. Well, what is the flood of Egypt? Well, some of them say, well, you know, the Nile rises every year and it floods the land, and that's what he's talking about. It's just a symbol. But no, I don't think so. When I think of this, I think about that flood that drowned all those Egyptians. They were chasing the people of God, and they essayed to go through that Red Sea just like the people of God did, and that flood overcame them. And you know what Moses told the people? He said, and you shall see them again no more forever. And I believe that's what he's telling the people of Israel here, that God's going to see them no more forever. You're not going to hide from him. The only safety you are going to find is in the mercy of God. If he has mercy on you and you bow to him, you know why? If you will not bow to him, there's only one reason why. You do not fear. But if you do not fear, you'll put if I do not fear him, I'm a fool. And I think sometimes, oh Lord, if you were to cast me into hell, he would have to be in the lowest depths of it. Because I know too much. I may not know a whole lot, but I know too much. And so do you. You've heard it. My children that I love with all my heart, they know too much.